Yes, I'll join you.
Will you sit down?
Yeah.
No worries, huh? Okay.
This is Om Roop. How are you doing? This is morning. We got... it's morning. Actually, it's 1 o'clock already. But for a lot of people, it is this morning. This is the Hackerspaces Dinner Show. We're going to talk with a few guests today. But first, we're going to relax a little bit. And, of course, we got some nice music for you. This is an oldie. Rhythm is a Dancer.
Rhythm is a Dancer.
Dat is trouwens een mop.
Oké.
Dat is waar.
Zijn die twee kapot of niet?
Nee, voor mij niet. Hoor je wat op je koptelefoon daar? Dit is gewoon een geintje waarschijnlijk.
Oké.
Gewoon een prank.
Nou, hij is verslaagd. Ik trap het niet.
Ja, dat klopt, ja. Hey Barry, die zijn lachen. Goed.
This is the Hackerspaces Dinner Show. My name is Fish, and today we're going to talk about a lot of subjects. One of these subjects is about hacking without borders, if I translated right to the English. Marinus, welcome. How are you doing? Can you take the microphone slightly closer to you? Yes.
Like this.
Yes. Thank you very much. Marinus, can you explain us a little bit what hacking without borders is?
Yeah, sure. So, in general, there is a whole gray area between what you can do and what you can't do, according to the Dutch law. And we try to solve some part of it by helping companies set up responsible disclosure, getting legal indemnities and all legal stuff. And we also try to act as a technical proxy for hackers. So that thing can hack companies through us that have a responsible disclosure thing, and everything that companies want to reward the hackers with goes to charity.
Okay, so they at least know who's attacking you, and they know, okay, if these guys are attacking us, we know if it's something is going wrong, they can contact you.
Yeah.
Hey, who was this, and we want to give them a...
Well, in the ideal situation, it should be completely anonymous.
Okay.
But we don't know if that's completely feasible within the Dutch law. So that's our goal, And if it is possible, then we might need to step down, like you become a member of our organization, so you don't know which one it was, but it was some of an organization. Or if that's impossible, then maybe evil on persons, or like something like an hackerspace. But then we need to give something more. So our idea was like setting up some gamification-like platform where you can do it like CTF style.
Okay, so it's you can also see it as slightly as a game with a good cause.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. And can you also tell us? You already was speaking about the hackerspaces are possible one of the groups are interested in it.
Yes.
Who's involved with the project?
At the moment, it's just me and my colleagues. So it's a bunch of like 10, 11 people.
Okay.
And we had the idea for quite a long time. We started like a year and a half ago. Like every time we find some vulnerability.
Oh, sorry. There was somebody's coming in. Excuse for that one. My mouse is so slightly. Sorry, I was interrupting you.
Yeah. So like a half year ago, we started that every time we find a vulnerability that is out of scope or because I'm a pen tester. Or I find something in my spare time that all my colleagues, we try to do responsible disclosure. And every time the company wants to give something back, we say, no, donate it to Stichting Kika,
okay.
Child Cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've been doing that like for 1.5 years now. And we recently saw the stats of the bug bounty programs on Mozilla and Google. And a third of all the proceedings went to charity. So there are a lot of guys who have the same idea. So we thought maybe we can use that and try to fix some part of the responsible disclosure program.
Okay. Hey, Marinus, you brought two of your colleagues or friends or
both.
Also people who are involved in the project.
Yeah.
Carlo and Martin, am I right?
Yep.
Okay. So we are also defect. We checked the defect microphone on that side. Carlo, can you explain your role in it and what your ideas about it?
I'm not sure if I can call it a role, but I just help with brainstorming about this concept because it's pretty far out as far as I can see. And we just from our perspective, we're technical kind of guys, so we see it from a technical perspective. But it's kind of a big deal, and it has a lot of commotion about it. So the thing I'm doing here is trying to help find people who can join us in the discussion about this topic and help us give extra different perspectives to make sure we don't miss anything while trying to arrange it and try to get the community growing.
Okay, if you're going to take a look on the groups already involved, can you tell us a little bit about who has already said yes, we want to do this?
Well, it's not exactly yes, we want to do this, but yes, we want to get involved in making this work.
But no official names yet, or
no, not really. There's nothing official yet.
Okay, well, that's good, but it's a start. It starts with an idea, and if people are interested, where can they check a website, or can they contact somebody here at OHM 2013?
Yeah, we have this tent between tent 1 and 2 on the Green Army tent on the hill.
Yes, next to OHM Group.
Next to OHM Group.
Yeah.
Or on the site hackerszondergrenzen.nl.
Yes.
Or hackerswithoutborders.nl.
Okay. Martin, we haven't asked you yet. What's your role within the project?
I guess same role as my colleagues just described. Just criticizing the idea basically right now. To fine tune it and make it actually realistic and realizable. So what we talked about, it involves bringing the debate a bit more towards the company, so not just having a responsible disclosure policy, but actually signing legal indemnities for that. So that just would go just one step further for those companies, so that they really know and accept what they're about to get into.
Okay, do you guys, you said the right word, companies. Do you already have companies who are interested in the project and said, okay, we want to be hacked by you?
Companies, Dutch government, people are interested, but of course it would boil down to them signing such a contract, and that didn't happen yet. We don't even have the exact legal text. So, like we said, we're in the phase of generating those ideas and trying to make it as realistic as possible.
Okay, we just one extra visitor arrived over here who knows a lot of Hackers Without Borders, Hackers Zonder Grenzen in Dutch. Brenno, in the past few years, you saw a lot of Hackers Without Borders, isn't it?
Yes, I've reported over 600 data leaks altogether, maybe even 700. I really stopped counting at a certain point. And I saw all the different responses from companies being really grateful to companies that really hate that they are pointed in the direction of a fault.
Okay, and if you're going to take a look on, do you know the project? That's the first question.
Well, I met the project here, and actually we're in the process of getting together and see if we can hook up together, because I have a plan in a similar direction, and see if we can do the same thing. And
so we should combine forces?
Yes, please.
Yes, definitely.
Anytime.
Yeah, yeah, and we kind of sort of figured out that we want to join forces, so... Hmm.
Sounds
maybe,
like a
maybe I want to become a hacker sans frontières. It sounds so French. Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not go there.
Now, in the meanwhile, I think it's a good idea. Everybody who's listening,
why don't you join?
Well, maybe you know, there, in my observation, there are two problems. One problem is that a lot of hackers. Basically, rightfully point people at the floor, and a company always has this opinion that it's about them and people are attacking them. One time, a manager of a company, you hate us, so I went like, no, why? Well, you wrote a nasty article, so I went like, no, it was factual and it was not nasty. Yeah, but I hated the article. Well, that can be. Yeah, but why did you write about us? Well, sir, you had 1 million customers. And actually, rightfully in your database, it should have been less than 50,000. If somebody were to come to me with 50,000 records, that would not be that interesting. If you've got 1 million records, you've kept way too many records. So it's not only the technical flaw, you're also lacked from that perspective. And the second thing is that companies are really, and also governments, bad in blaming the parties that should be blamed. I rightfully thought that I bought this and this software. I thought it was okay. And now my supplier just let me down. You know, we should attack the supplier.
Breno, if you think about this, do you think it's ethical of these companies they're not working with the right way with the information and functionality in this way?
No, I don't think it's... I think it's highly unethical also by the Dutch government that prosecutes hackers. To go after them in the first place. If somebody points you at a window that is open, you know, nobody should be angry. And it's the lack of self-criticism. When I was hacked, people asked me a lot, like, are you going to press charges? I nearly begged the district attorney that was looking into the case without me wanting it. I begged him not to prosecute, you know, because... And I personally didn't make the mistakes. There were mistakes in the software. Shit happens. It was not fun for me because everybody was attacking me. But that's part of life, you know? And
hey, you feel it, and afterwards you're going to change because you don't want to have it again.
And now I think it's a cool story. I can say, like, I know how it feels because it happened to me too. So
okay. So on the idea to give an ethical platform to have your company hacked, it's ethical in both ways, because you're open for responsible disclosure.
Yep.
The hackers are doing have a kind of proxy system, so they are they have a certain safety.
Mm-hmm.
But Breno, on a journalist side, if these guys are all going through this proxy, your stories probably will change, or
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not really afraid that there will be fewer stories. And maybe, you know, we've told now so many times that we have this thing called leaks.
True.
That there's a lot more to report, and there will always be companies that will give wrong reactions and can still poke around and have a little bit of fun with some organizations, like the one in Eindhoven that started going to after Henk Krol. Those type of stories will always remain, so I'm not too worried about that. But if you really want to change society, you know, and stop things like espionage, we really have to get up and fix our software, and you have to think out of the box. And with all respect to the companies that do penetration testing, they have one customer, the next customer, the next customer. They all do it to a certain through a certain way. And if you try to be it, to make this a little bit more innovative, we might actually learn a lot more about the mistakes. I can guarantee you that in the United States, there are government bodies working to find flaws in systems so that they can abuse them to the full extent.
So that's on the bad side.
Yeah, because the government wants to have access to certain systems.
Yeah.
So people are on the lookout and trying to find flaws in software, and we should do the same. You know, it's an arms race.
Okay. If you're going to ask me, if we're going back to the subject we were talking about, what's the plan for the next few months? The idea is there. You're getting people and starting to brainstorm.
Yeah. So we generally wrote the whole thing out, and then we said, okay, take a step back and go to Ohm and present a small subset of ID and let people criticize it. Let find out what isn't possible or what we shouldn't do, or even come up with things we should do. We're going to draft some work out of it and release it after Ohm, and then the contacts we have now made with the government organizations, we're going to try to find some pilot things to do it, and some communities, like I told you, like hackerspaces or people we already know from IRC or anything.
I can offer you the pilot case already. It's a large city in the Netherlands, and I also created already the document which is really fits on one page A4 to do this.
Okay, so there's step number two.
Yeah.
Okay. I think thank you very much for your information. Can you mention one times again the website?
Yeah. www.hackerszondergrenzen.nl or hackerswithoutborders.nl.
Thank you very much.
.nl. Thanks, man.
Ik heb al een A4'tje gemaakt, een draafje gemaakt.
Zo, heel simpel, je mag alles doen, maar je mag geen systemen platleggen. Als iets ongeluk plat gaat, dan bel je of, in dit geval met de gemeente heb ik afgesproken, bel je of mij, of je belt de gemeente rechtstreeks. Maar als je dat niet durft, dan gewoon even via een tussenweg.
Uh-huh.
Dan is er ook niets aan de hand, dan ga je gewoon kijken wat je doet. Wel kunt.
Ewout, ja?
Dus dan gaan we ook zoeken naar van waar kun je dan vrolijk weer mee verder gaan. Als je wat vindt, dan meld je het natuurlijk gewoon. Je mag geen daadwerkelijke data ophalen. Je houdt op bij de directiestructuur.
Dus daar bij Harma zit een knopje.
Nu zachter?
Database structuur, heel vervelend. Weet je? En de gemeente gaat in ruil daarvoor zeggen welke data jij had kunnen halen en hoeveel daarvan. En daar gaan we dus ook niet moeilijk over doen. Er gaan ook geen ICT'ers bij die gemeente gedonden krijgen. Het is gewoon een verkapte aanval op leveranciers. En gewoon een gemeente die gewoon zegt van ja, wij willen het in orde hebben. En vooral de Centrix van deze wereld gaan een leuke tijd. Dit is heel lang is het al mijn droom om achter de leveranciers aan te gaan. Nou ja, dat wordt dus interessant. En dat is dus nu een van de dingen die we aan het uitzoeken zijn. En als die hoster het niet toestaat, dan moeten we dus ook onszelf de vraag gaan stellen van hoe lang zitten we nog aan die hosten vast.
Ja, precies.
Ja,
dat... Hoe haal je het in je hoofd? Nou, dat zou de confessie moeten doen.
Ja,
precies. Dat is jouw idee. De hackers.
Dat kan, maar ik ga ze even lokken om het niet te doen. Door een prijsvraag te gaan. Dus je moet iets kunnen winnen wat, weet je, en een beetje ook zoals J.J. Baloo dat doet met die t-shirts.
Ja, ja.
Zoiets moet gewoon. Ja, en ik vind het ook gewoon een mooi logo, daar denk ik de naam ook van. Dat ook gewoon tot een ding, weet je wel.
Ja.
En daar is dus ook die stichting zo mooi bij, dat die dat dus innovatief gehalte.
Ja.
En als iemand anoniem wil zijn, weet je, dan kunnen ze onder mijn journalistieke bescherming kunnen ze dat dan ook gewoon zijn. Dus je moet ze wel die mogelijkheid bieden.
20 seconden.
Misschien moet ik. Ja, sorry. Ja.
10 even aan je rug.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Ohm Roop. This is the Hackerspaces Dinner Show. We just had the starter and we spoke to about hacking without borders. And my next subject is actually what happened the past few years, four years, in the Hackerspaces community. You already heard his name. Brendo is over here and also Ardillo is back. He's one of the Hackerspace Random Data in Utrecht.
Not them.
No, yeah.
Actually.
It's actually the Hackerspace you were a member of, Brenno, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was the first Hackerspace I was a member of.
Hooray, hooray.
And then, that was the thing. There wasn't that much.
True.
In the Netherlands. You had The Hague and Utrecht, and that was just about it. And then finally we got Arnhem. So that was a big step ahead. But I think a lot happened in 4 years' time.
Yeah, really. Community grew. Yeah,
I think what's the amount of hackerspaces now in the Netherlands?
Ooh, I don't know.
Almere, Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. They're starting one in Breda. One in the south in Maastricht, I believe.
Yeah, Heerlen, Friesland.
Yeah.
I still remember when Brenno was coming in into Random
about
Data.
10, yeah.
Yeah, everybody was standing up and said.
Yeah.
It became true. There was a real hackerspace. It was not only about Brenno, but because we
was
first
definitely not about me. It was more about you.
It was about all the community.
It was about us.
Yeah. What about us? No. I still remember when we were walking in after a 2600 NL meeting, and we came in the room, and it was still dirty, and there was a lot of shit in, the community started to grow because lots of people heard about hackerspaces in America. During horror was a lot of hackerspaces presented themselves, and the hacker community started to grow. Well, Random Data and RefSpace were indeed the first too, and I have never thought that all these hackerspaces were popping up. I think we're growing with three or four every year.
Oh, it's amazing now that you're mentioning that we've got a whole square where all the Dutch hackerspaces are, and everybody thinks it's the most normal thing. Oh, that's X space, of course.
Yeah, it's still growing, and it's growing everywhere in the world, because yesterday I went to a talk, and there were some guys from French and America, and they have the same grow, you know. There is a hackerspace in France, and they grow with like five people each week or so. So that's a lot. That's a real lot. And they have 500 square meters, and they're thinking about expanding to more than 1,000.
That's big, man.
Yeah, that's really big. Yeah. Really.
And if you're going to take a look on the preparations for Ohm, Ohm started organizing about 2 years ago, and all these hackerspaces, they were informed, and you see a lot of hackerspaces people also in the Ohm organization, and I think it's a good preparation at least to have an active involved community to do the next event, because as Brenno also know, the Orgau had a lot of work, paperwork especially, to get the whole conference running again. And I think what do you think what's going to happen in the next 4 years if you compare it to the last 4 years, Brenno?
I think we have got a lot of lessons to learn from this event as well. So I think that's going to happen for me and for the things that I do. I'm going to focus actually at CCC camp, because that's a nice intermediate step to build a new television studio, a new radio studio, and you know, do this again, and make sure that the rehash type of services are better arranged than this year, because that was a little bit disappointing for me. And then in 4 years' time, we should have again a kick-ass setup, but then everything working like out of the box like that. Because this was a lot of stress to get it all working. And now that it's all up and running, it is so cool. Especially the evening television show. I think it's really cool.
If In the total perspective, it's always at the hacker camps. The evening is the most beautiful, mainly because the light is awesome. But people are getting more awake after 3 o'clock. Don't you think?
I do think so, and that's why we have the last show tonight at between 12:15 and 1:00.
Okay, which show?
The Om Late Night.
Oh.
Or early morning.
And no 0900 numbers, though, or.
No. That's without any 900 number, yeah.
Okay. Hey, catching back to the hackerspaces, Ardillo, we already spoke about a few projects. If you're going to take a look on all the hackerspaces in the Netherlands, so what's one of the projects you like the most you've seen?
Whoa.
It's not bounded to the Netherlands, by the way.
Not bounded to the Netherlands. Just which projects I saw here at home?
At home or just happening hackerspaces who were organizing stuff and starting project.
Whoa, let me think, because I saw a lot here. Well, there's one of the projects I like, which is a project of BitLayer. They're making like very big laser cutters, real strong ones. Well, that's interesting. And it's a typically BitLayer size, because Hackerspace wants to make one, and they make, I believe, three of them. Maybe like it, yeah. And I'm even thinking about a very big iron printer. So
iron printer?
Yeah, to print iron with it, iron subjects with it. Yeah, it's nice.
That's so nice, because when I'm back at home, then I can make my shirts all tidy and...
ironing shirts. Hey, also in the studio we have Ewald over here. Ewald, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you.
Can you tell who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Oh no.
Okay, guys, that's it. I'm out.
Mine.
That was Breno.
My name being Ewald, and currently I work for Fox IT.
Okay.
Get it all clear and out in the open.
Yeah, and do you think it's hard to walk around with that name on you, or?
It has its pros and cons. I mean, it attracts a lot of interest from various parties.
Yeah, I think it's still good. There's a discussion going on, but not always the way how they do it.
I think the discussions we can all learn from and enjoy. It's the pranks we enjoy as well. It's the every once in a while it turns into verbal abuse, or it feels a little threatening to particular people. That is less nice. But in all, we are having a great time.
Oh, that's good. Hey, and Ewald, are you familiar with some hackerspaces in the Netherlands?
I know that they exist. I have never had any time to visit one.
Oh,
shame on you. You should have.
Then you should at least do something like and arrange that you're going to visit one. You're welcome in Random Date on every Tuesday evening.
Yeah, because then they're closed.
If you're going to take a look, it's actually good you have never been to a hackerspace. How should you describe, as an outsider of hackerspaces, what is a hackerspace for you?
It will probably look like 2 out of the 7 rooms of my house. There's okay. Probably a lot of crap in various states of being, and that's the same what I do at home.
So you got a hackerspace at home?
Yeah, that's basically how my life looks like. Yeah, I try to hack all sorts of stuff. It's not restricted to computers at all. Currently, I'm more into combustion engines, which I thoroughly enjoy. I lockpick. I have a large family, so I can social engineer to my heart content with my four
kids.
So
you're very used to communities that are all around.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that counts for a lot of people, because I think there are a lot of people who just have a hackerspace at home, but don't actually are a member of a hackerspace. And it should be.
True.
It's nice. You get some more creativity out of it.
Yeah, and don't forget this. If we take a look on our own Hackerspace Random Data, we moved from a few people to more people. I think we have 20 members now. We're not one of the largest hackerspaces, but a lot of people are visiting a hackerspace, and they come back and come back and come back, and then they become a member. But a lot of visitors we have, they don't understand how it all is working and organized. So I think if we put some more attention on how we organize things, the hackerspaces community can even grow more and more.
Yeah, well, I think the community feeling, you know, that's for me the most important thing. That you have, that you at least have the that you know that you've got friends all around. And I think that's very, very valuable.
Okay.
So, I'm going to a hackerspace now, the food hacking space.
There, I might be tempted to join you.
Yeah.
Okay, no, then we got a special end for you, Breno. Oh, that was a little bit short one. But in the meanwhile, we're going to listen to some progressive house. There he is.
Thank you, Breno.
Nou, ik vind het juist wel prettig om weg te blijven uit hackerspace, omdat het wel lekker is om wat alleen te doen.
Nee, dat begrijp ik helemaal. We hadden het er gisteren over. Wij liepen een beetje rond op het terrein. Je ziet ook nog wel die villages van hackerspaces.
Weet jij waar de tea house is?
Gaan wij er eigenlijk achter? Nee, hier is eigenlijk allemaal soldeerbouw.
Lekker kwadratoren dan. Hé, bedankt in ieder geval.
Kijk, wij naar onze eigen tafel. Er stond alleen maar eten op. Alleen maar eten. Alleen maar pannen, potten, teringzooi. En dan denk ik, nou man, wij zijn echt anders. Wij zijn echt anders. We merken het ook op dinsdagavond. Als we dan komen, dan komt helemaal niks uit je klauwen. Want je bent aan het ouwe hoeren. En de ene heeft dit gevonden, de andere heeft dat gevonden. En dan ben je er een beetje mee over aan het discussiëren.
Ja, we gaan er nu wat meer bullshit van maken nog hoor. De kabouter komt er zo in.
Ja, tuurlijk.
Dat is echt, dat zijn inderdaad van die dingen. Ja. Als je echt werk wil verzetten, je wil iets doen, onderzoeken, je moet beter op je zolderkamer blijven. Dat is mijn ervaring ook.
Dat klopt. Klopt.
Ja.
Ja, prettig is, vind ik ook eens om naar buiten mijn eigen comfortzone te bewegen. En dan eens een keertje niet te proberen om in zo kort mogelijke tijd ergens zo goed mogelijk in te worden. Maar juist om te dealen met het probleem.
Ja, gewoon in de diepte duiken.
En dat is dus voor mij op dit moment verbrandingsmotoren.
Wat voor verbrandingsmotoren?
Gewoon brommers, motortjes. Ik ben nu bezig met een 1-cylinder 4-takt motortje. En mijn ambitie is om straks een 8-cylinder te hebben en te begrijpen. En uit elkaar te kunnen halen en terug te kunnen zetten.
Ja.
Dat wil ik dus juist niet zo snel mogelijk leren, eigenlijk het liefst 6 jaar over doen.
Het is wel heel leuk hoor. En vroeger, zeg maar, vroeger, had je er nog echt wat aan, want dan kon je echt jezelf je eigen auto doen. Ik bedoel, als je kijkt naar nu, tegenwoordige auto's, allemaal elektronica,
ja.
Dan ben je helemaal niet aan het branden. Want voor hobby dingetjes is dit soort dingen super leuk om te doen.
Okay, ik ben ermee begonnen een paar jaar terug, heb ik een auto gekocht van 35 jaar oud.
Wat voor ding?
Een Ford, een M15, 15M eigenlijk, 15 MTS. En daar ben ik naar zo'n rent a garage, dus een soort hackerspace, maar dan
waar
je
een
brug huurt voor €X per uur.
Het gereedschap misschien ook wel.
Ben ik heen gegaan en dan met mijn kinderen daar naartoe om to get your hands dirty en om iets te doen waar je gewoon geen flauw idee van hebt.
Ja, precies.
En het begint heel voorzichtig met de wielen vervangen of de wielen erop afhalen en erop zetten. Dan een keer de remschoentjes en zo kom je steeds verder.
Sorry? Nee, ja,
ik kijk alleen maar naar jouw
kind. Ik geef je 30 seconden vooraf weer een
seintje.
Het zijn leuke dingen om te doen hoor. Ik heb ook veel jaar veel gepretst met auto's inderdaad. Een keer een waterpomp vervangen, een keer een V-snaar, een keer een distributierim. Toen ging het mis, kostte me veel geld. Nou jammer dan. Ja, het is wel vervelend, maar je leert er wel een hoop van. Timing en zo allemaal en oh man. Ja, het is wel
en
leuk.
Dat zeg ik, op dit moment geniet ik ontzettend van het proces in plaats van het doel. En dat is natuurlijk eigenlijk à contraire tot zoals ik mijn hele leven heb gedaan. Waar ik altijd heel gefocust ben geweest, dat ga ik nu bereiken. En dat moet dan zo goed en zo. Ja, daarbij hoort snelheid, is daar meestal een dingbang. Dus dan wil je zoveel mogelijk bronnen en zoveel mogelijk input en zoveel mogelijk discussie om het doel te halen.
Ja.
En nu is voor mij is meer de weg.
Ja, het proces is belangrijker
dan het doel.
En waar het heen gaat,
I don't know.
Ja, daarom. Ja, leuk. Ook hacken.
Ja.
Ja, zeker.
30 seconden.
Kom maar. Komt Walter nog? Nee. Komt wel.
And welcome back to Omroep. This is Fish speaking, and we're speaking to, well, we're speaking about everything today, and especially today, because it's my final show, I thought I should invite at least one very, very, very special guest. And his name is Evil Gnome.
Hello, how are you doing, man? I'm cool.
Yes, of course we know you're cool, but what are you doing?
Well, at the Belgian village, they told me that I'm able to come over and drink a lot of beer, so Evil Gnome said I should go down and stay down, and yeah, the beer is good, so of course I'll stay there.
Okay, and you're going to take a look on the amount of beer you're drunk.
Well, I think I'm drinking about one or two crates a day, and that should be enough, but there's actually one problem, because if you're going to take a look on the amount of beer they have, it doesn't work out. Today, they're going to bring another truckload of beer, and I hope I didn't drink it all today.
Okay, and what are you doing at a hacker conference?
Hacker conference. Well, we had some beer, and we drank some beer, and well, we bring some more beer.
Okay, but you're not technical. Well, technical? Yeah, a little bit.
No. I'm more community-based people, you know.
Okay. If you're going to walk around and you see everything happening over here, well, what's going on over here?
Well, it's a camp, of course, and as you can see, there are lots of LEDs, and these LEDs are actually my favorite. If you drink a crate of beer, it's a very happy environment, and yeah, it gives a good feeling.
Okay, are you part of a hackerspace?
Yeah, I know the Belgian guys, the guys from Void Teams in Antwerp, and they actually modded my whole body. They put some LEDs in my eyes, so I'm actually getting alive.
Okay, well, sounds interesting. And what are your plans for the next few, few hours actually, because it's the last day of Ohm?
Yeah, I'm going to walk around more, drink more beer, and blah, 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 blah. You know how it goes.
Actually, I don't know. Ardillo, you got some questions for all Evil Gnome?
Yeah, actually, I do. Last night, I saw some new effects in the streetlights because I thought they were flames. And when you look them from a distance, they even look like real flames. So, I want to know what he thinks about it. What impact made it on him?
Well, if you drink a lot of a beer, you don't have to care about because you're not getting any flames in your hair.
Yeah, he has a lot of hair, right?
Normally, my beard is quite big.
Yeah, your beard is indeed quite big. talking about hacking standard stuff, past few years we have seen hacking lackracks. We are also hacking gnomes now, making them evil gnomes.
Yeah, look at your microphone. What's that then?
It's actually, how you call it? Is it a light standard or?
Yeah, it's just from a light here, the IKEA light.
IKEA. Ewout, you were talking about your almost your whole not all your, you got a room in your house which is almost a hackerspace.
Yeah, there's all sorts of part of the house are occupied by hacking attributes. Currently, I'm occupying one of my hallway with two brommertjes. I wouldn't know the
mopeds. Which mopeds are you running?
They're the Zags.
Zags?
Yeah, the mad ass version.
Ah, nice. How
really,
many?
Really nice that they have small Honda engines, which is the most produced moped engine in the world, with I think between 40 and 65 million pieces built.
So you've got a lot of spare parts, right?
Well, unfortunately, the electricity part has been modified to a three-phase charger, which means that yes, for the physical engine, there's a lot of repair replacement stuff, but the electricity makes it completely a different engine. So it's not just a drop-in, bolt-in, replace your engine with a running Honda version, because then the electricity of your of your moped doesn't work no more.
Okay, well, what's the amount of CC you're running?
49.
Oh, the standard moped.
They're both 49s. I mean, they're it's a drop in to enhance the volume to 70, even 125 is well doable.
Now, I've seen a Matt S with 125 CCs indeed, and the body, it's actually quite light, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very minimalistic. Huh? It's
is it steel or alloy? Yeah?
It's alloy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's a naked bike. It's very minimalistic. It's a naked bike indeed. I mean, there's absolutely nothing on it that's not absolutely required either to drive or by law.
Okay. And all these modifications, doesn't it make you to have it sometimes have an error in it so you're not able to ride it, or is it all quite robust?
Currently, I've bought two second-hand half-assed mid-asses, and I'm trying to Frankenstein it into one actually working.
Okay.
Mid-ass.
It's alive.
It's alive.
It's going to be alive. It's not alive now, I can tell you. I mean, it's on live support, but
it's alive. I like it. Do you also have a modification for evil gnomes like me, so I can ride on it?
Well, currently, I would advise you to get something with a combustion engine for yourself, indeed, because it's more exciting than anything I've seen or done so far.
Oh, yeah, I like that's a little bit wildlife, I think. Yeah, wild styles, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you know, I think we can bind you to a drone or something like it. I saw some people flying with drones on the drone field, so maybe you would like it. Yeah.
Sounds like flying high.
Yeah, without a parachute, right?
I like high.
the talking about these drones, have you seen this flying ostrich?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah. Yeah, really, I find it really crazy because I know the Orville copter, you know, the flying cat, and I saw the flying ostrich, but when it turned on, it really scared the hell out of me, man. It was a little bit unstable and it made a lot of noise, so you can see the power in it. If that thing goes wrong,
it goes badly wrong.
Yeah, you have
wrong.
To run very hard, you know.
But the flying cat was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It was just a normal drone, but the size of the flying ostrich is very, very big. So it has a lot of power. You can see the engines. They're the biggest I've seen. The biggest electric engines, actually.
Okay. Are you aware of the fact that there was a two-staged rocket fired last night?
Yeah, we saw some rockets going up. It was next to S Field, wasn't it?
God,
it's the other side of the road.
Yeah. Where the dragons are, I believe. Yeah. Oh, no, that's more north. Yeah, well, the drone field, you know?
Yeah. As we got our village over there and we heard like...
Yeah, that started off very nicely vertically.
And then it went wrong.
And then it went very much horizontal.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a scary monster.
It was, yeah.
So well, let's listen to Scary Monster of Skrillex. It's one of my favorite songs. I already run it. This is a different version of it. So Skrillex, here it goes.
Ja, dat is mooi verhaal, want het is een two-stage rocket en dat is natuurlijk in heel Europa verboden, behalve in Nederland. De eerste trap ging oké, maar toen toch niet helemaal en toen kwam de tweede trap. Waf!
Wie heen dan?
De grond in. Hij zat zo diep in de grond. Ik weet niet of je enige een beetje gevoeld hebt hoe stevig de grond hier is. Ja. Dus dat was eventjes een
momentje. Waar ging die heen? Die kant op?
Ja, ik zeg nu ja.
Oh nee, maar gelukkig zijn. Maar vanzelf komt hij de andere kant op.
Ja, maar de wind was wel gedraaid, dus die mazzel hadden we dan nog wel. Want de wind kwam op een gegeven moment van die kant volgens mij. Of die kant, die kant.
Wat was dat dan? Want dat heb ik dan wel gemist. Ik bedoel, ik heb dan verschillende raketten.
Ja, er zijn weer meerdere raketten aan, hebben ze afgevuurd, hè?
Ja, maar die two-stage was volgens mij de enige, dacht ik. Maar...
Hey, hebben we nog wat leuke projectjes waar we het even over kunnen hebben? We hebben het nu over jouw zaks gehad, dat vind ik wel cool.
Mad-ass?
Ja, ik wil Fox niet te veel aanhalen, want ik wil je ook niet in de lastige vragen zetten.
Nou, het gaat over de discussies, dat is prettig. Yes. Dat is een goed punt. What else? I'm dense.
Tool?
Oh, Tool is leuk.
Wat? Sorry?
Tool.
Walter zou misschien ook nog even langskomen, maar die verwacht ik niet met het laatste kwartier. Dus.
Wie waar je helpt? Ja.
Oh, cool. Walter had ik gevraagd, maar ik bedoel, als hij druk is hij druk hoor. Dus, Nick Farr even doen.
Oh, cool. Ja. Ik heb wel. Ja.
leuk. Ik heb die intro gedaan bij...
Je vragen naar het domeinnaam, dat is een tool met drie O's en die staan voor oefenen, oefenen, oefenen.
Ja. Ja, dat is leuk, 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 leuk. Daar kunnen we over kutten. We hebben die workshop ook gehad bij ons.
Ik bel Nick Farr ook even. Hey Nick, this is Fish Picking. Nick, you're there? Hello, Nick. Nick, yeah, it's a little bit bad connection. Are you able to come over to Om Roep? Yeah, we still have 15 minutes left, so it's kind of short. Okay, thanks man, bye. Nick Farr komt al, dus het komt ook wel goed.
Oké, bal er niet op.
Oké.
De laatste minuut. Is zo lekker nummer, hè?
Ja.
This is the Hackerspaces dinner show. We just had a starter and then the main course. I think we're going to start some dessert in the final 15 minutes. We still have one guest available, but he's not in yet. Nick Farr. Nick, if you're there, come over. Meanwhile, we're going to talk with Ewout a little bit more about lockpicking. Ewout, you're involved with Tool, or you're just a lockpicker, or...
I'm involved in Tool as in a regular visitor of the Tool Amsterdam gathering, which is held every 2 weeks on Tuesdays. It was like 3 years ago when I went there for the first time. I've always been fascinated by the whole idea that we rely so much on on locks, but don't understand the basics of it. It took me a couple of months to get the real gist of the concept of locks and the problems associated with it. There are some great guys participating in Tool, both the Tool in the southern part of Holland and the Tool in Amsterdam. Who've been very, I say, materialist in getting my knowledge up to the level that I'm right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating a hobby, something I always carry around. I have one or two cylinders in my bag and a couple of lockpicks, and whether it's in front of the TV or while sitting in the train. Or even if the meetings are really
boring. So you're quite enthusiastic about lockpicking.
I'm absolutely am.
Okay, if you're going to take a look on the community of Tool, Tool is in the Netherlands quite an old community, isn't it? I think it's going back to the early 90s, isn't it?
The founders have been member of or at least active in the community since the hectic days. I mean,
hippies from hell.
Hippies from hell and far before that, you know, the galactic hacker parties in the Paradiso. I find many people within Tool, it's basically the same as in our online hacker community. It's people that you come across again and again and again.
Okay, in the meanwhile, if you hear a lot of strange voices or strange sounds on the background, the wind is blowing very hard over here. Please be sure your tent is heavily bound to the ground, because I think some things are going to fly in a few hours else. Back to the Tool story. If you're going to see about the hackerspaces that were popping up last year, do you see similarities to how Tool started, etc.?
That's a good possibility. I've not been involved in the hackerspaces themselves, but I reckon it's the same spirit. It's the people who want to know and want to share their knowledge on particular subjects. Tool, of course, very focused towards locks, which might not be a surprise, where hackerspaces potentially have a far broader field of interest.
Okay, if you're going to take a look on hackerspaces popping up last 6-7 years already, we have Nick Farr in the show over here. Ah, there he is.
Hi, Fish, how are you doing?
I'm very fine. Thank you very much for coming over, Nick.
No worries.
How are you doing? You brought a bunch of hackers from the States again this year.
From the States. We were trying to get more countries involved, but that... That didn't work out at the last minute. But yeah, no, we have a great Hackers on a Plane camp over in a nice, quiet field on the other side of Mount Ohm. It's a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And, you know, we've collected a couple of stragglers along the way, people who have lost their tents or decided to come at the last minute who needed a place to camp. That's always the goal and the idea of Hackers on a Plane, is to connect many, many different groups of people who would not otherwise attend the camp or be able or have the... You know, the sort of necessary introduction to the European hacker scene that makes so much of the difference.
If you're going to take a look on how many years you already did it, is it the sixth year already?
Because the first Hackers on a Plane was in 2007, to the 2007 CCC camp, where we brought 40 Americans over directly from DEF CON, which in retrospect was a little bit of a mistake. The last thing you want to do to a bunch of hungover, dehydrated hackers is stick them on a transcontinental flight and then dump them off in a field somewhere.
Did it include the biggest drinking hacker of the scene?
At that time,
you know what
yes.
I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about now. But no, Dan is actually.
Ooh, names.
Yeah.
Oh, I think anybody who's in the know knows exactly who we were referring to right there. I mean, unless you're talking about Diet Dr. Pepper, in which case we all know who's the Diet Dr. Pepper addict.
We were talking about Dan, huh?
Yeah, we were talking about Dan. But,
I still remember at Hacking at Random, one night he was walking with a giant squid on his head.
That sounds about right for Dan. Now I think Jason Street has taken a lot of that.
Jason is taking over with his awkward hugs.
Yeah, with his awkward hugs, and I think street showmanship would be the term there.
Street showmanship.
Hey, Nick, we're talking about hackerspaces over here. I'm following the scene, of course, but you are more on the States side. What's going on in the States on the hackerspaces side for the moment?
They keep proliferating. I mean, I actually. The 2007 CCC camp, a lot of people historically cite as sort of the initial groundswell for hackerspaces. Out of that trip came the first three main hackerspaces in the United States that are considered part of that American wave of hackerspaces, NoiseBridge in San Francisco, Hack DC in Washington, DC, and NYC Resistor, that have all had very, very different evolutions. And from those spaces, many, many other spaces have popped up. People have made their own hackerspaces just being inspired by the idea behind the German hacker spaces that inspired these first American spaces. And I originally thought that you know, there would be a peak at some point, and then there would be a dropping off, that we'd see spaces.
But it's still, the line is still going up.
No, the increase is still exponential, and the idea has forked into many different ways. And not only forked, but incorporated traditional ideas from other communities as well. That a lot of the lessons and a lot of the design patterns from artist collectives have found their way into spaces that very proudly call themselves hackerspaces and makerspaces today. There's been a huge, huge interest in DIY biohacking. And I think GenSpace in NYC is leading that revolution. They might not call themselves a hackerspace or makerspace, but they clearly state that they are influenced by that gathering together in a space to hack and make things.
So it's more the mindset. They said, okay, we're hackerspace, and our mindset is also to change things, and which is originally not being used for, or etc.
Yeah, well, I mean, but they're pioneering a whole new idea that normally the kinds of equipment and expertise involved in, you know, doing things like DNA splicing and sequencing are things that are completely, normally completely outside the realm of the capabilities for an average group of people with a budget of, say, you know, $10,000, $20,000 a year. Now we see people hacking the equipment, finding ways to get surplus equipment, finding ways to repurpose different things there. And that I think, especially DIY biohacking, is some of the most exciting hacking out there. And now we have hackerspaces, of course, you know, that the pursuit of space, the hacker pursuit, the hackerspace program is very, very near and dear to my heart. And we have spaces that are dedicated purely to that. People finding different launch mechanisms, people developing satellite programs, people developing satellite tracking programs. Mm-hmm. And you know, where normally in anytime you see an initial enthusiasm towards any concept or idea, there is that peak and then there's trough. But instead of that peak, we're seeing what classically happens in hacker scenes is forking.
Yeah,
that
true.
That the growth trend is being accelerated by the fact that we're forking along different topic and interest lines and new ideas. You know, one person starts hacking on certain DIY biohacking equipment, then that opens up a whole new field of exploration. The wonderful thing about the hacker community is that we're constantly building on the successes of those in our community.
True. If you want to say a final word to the Hackerspaces community, what should it be?
Keep going. Keep being amazing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nick Farr.
No problem, Fish. Thank you for having me on.
Good luck with organizing all kind of things. Eh?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, Ardillo. We're in the final minutes of my show now.
Yeah, incredible, huh?
Yeah. For me, the radio started at Hacking at Random 2009. We started with the Hackerspaces, the Hackerspace Hour. It was fun, and doing it again was actually good again. It's a good feeling. I like it.
Yeah.
So I want to thank all my listeners and all our listeners. I have to say so I'm going to give you guys a cup of coffee with some chocolates with it. Some nice bonbons, as we should say, in the Netherlands or Belgium. And I saved one of my favorites for you guys of the Prodigies, One Love. And One Love is, for me, hacking. Thank you very much for listening. This was the Hackerspaces dinner show. And see you in 4 years, guys.
Lach om te doen dit. Zo. Maar je moet wel pissen van al de koffie die ik vanochtend gedronken heb.
Nee. Sorry?
Ja?
Ah, lekkere shotjes gedraaid. Inmiddels ook wel een beetje de routine, hè? Ik moet zeggen, zelf schuiven is ook wel lekker, hoor.
Je moet weten hoe het werkt, hè? Je moet een klein beetje...
Zet jij hem klaar? Ben je leg? Oké, okay, wacht even hoor. Ik gooi er even een jingletje voor je tussendoor. Dat mag je ook doen hoor. Dan zet je hem gewoon klaar dan.
Bij de rest van ze gaat afwassen en dat is ook belangrijk. Ik kan weggebeld worden, dus dan zit je zo meteen in het eerste geval alleen. Oh, ik moet zo meteen.
Hey, on air in 2 minuten.
Van gay.
Yo.
Ja, check.
Hoi.
Ik zag hem net tussen hier en track 2 inlopen, een beetje drukdoend met de porto.
Tja. Wat is het beste, hè?
Moet u nog hebben? Ja.
Ja.
Alsjeblieft.
Heb je de Binary Voice jingle al klaarstaan?
Wat? Oh, de Binary Voice contact. Oh, dat is wel een...
Twee en elf.